Father tempted me to go and see what Loseley House was all like, and it's a sort of Elizabethan stately home. And we went around, we had this tour round Loseley House, and then right at the end, as we came down to the bottom of the final staircase, there was a lady at the bottom explaining that she was going to show a little video about the Loseley Christian Trust. Bit of a surprise at the end of a stately home visit. So a few of us filed in and we watched this video, and it was all about the healing ministry that goes on in that home. And twice a month they throw the doors open and they have a meal and they share communion and they minister healing in the name of Jesus. Wonderful ministry going on there. And for them it's a priority. And for Jesus it was a priority, and he didn't let other people stand in the way. The Pharisees tried to push in, but Jesus soon brushed them aside. And he didn't let the occasion stand in the way. It was the Sabbath, after all. And that caused a bit of a furore with the Pharisees. But he didn't let that stand in the way. The one thing that stood out for him was the importance of this man and his needs. Here was a man in need, and that for Jesus was enough. And he was going to meet that need. They tell me there's a clock in Essex, I haven't actually seen it, which has no hands, but round the face, simply the words, "It is time to seek the Lord." It's always time to seek the Lord. And if I may just change the wording a little bit, it's always time to serve the Lord, to minister wholeness, and to offer healing in his name. He knows our need tonight, and it's his priority to meet our need, whatever that may be. Now, move on in the story, if you will, and you see secondly something about the power that was released here. We've seen the problem exposed, and here is the power of Christ released to meet it. It's a wonderful story of human impotence being met by divine omnipotence. And it's one of 26 individual healing miracles that you find in the pages of the New Testament Gospels, and another 10 corporate group healing, multiple healings in the New Testament. And all of them have a sense of the power of God about them. In all of them, you sense that they don't catch Jesus out. He is always in control. He always knows what to do. You've had that experience, I'm quite sure, as I often have. When you just feel powerless, you're faced with a problem, somebody comes and shares a problem with you, and you just don't know what to do. You never get that impression with Jesus, thank God. He always knows what to do, and he's always in control, and his power is always sufficient. He never, never, never had to turn anybody away and say, "I'm sorry, you'll have to go and try somebody else. I can't help you." However many people came, a wide variety of needs. You've only got to look back into Mark chapter 1 and verse 32, and you'll see there the sort of experience that was common for Jesus. After sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. A variety of needs, all being brought to the same Lord, and all discovering his power being released in their lives. And that encourages us tonight, whatever our need may be, to come to the Lord and to seek that same power ministry to bring every need to him. "Nothing is too difficult for thee," we sing. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. And you see, in this man's experience here in the synagogue, we go back to the man with the shriveled arm, a word from Jesus was sufficient to release power and bring restoration. Stretched out his arm, and he was whole. And as I trace the ministry of Jesus through the pages of the New Testament, it's almost like a liberating army moving through Galilee, ministering the power of the kingdom. And wherever he goes, there is release And wherever he goes, there is restoration. And wherever he goes, there is wholeness and healing and joy. That's what we need tonight. To know that restoring power of the Lord Jesus. His touch still has its ancient power. Sometimes, as in this story, he heals alone in sovereign power. It's simply the touch of Jesus which is sufficient. And I've known that in my own experience and acquaintance, that people have testified that without any human intermediary, they have known the healing touch of the Lord. My wife's here tonight, and she would tell you, if I gave her opportunity, about a lady who came to a conference at Cliff College, where she used to work in the admin office, and I used to be on the tutorial staff some years ago. And this lady wrote to say she'd had an accident, and her leg had been crushed. It was in plaster, and she couldn't walk really unaided, and could she please have a room that was near everything else and where she wouldn't have to go up too many stairs and the rest of it. So Joyce allocated her such a room, and the day of the conference arrived, and lo and behold, she came walking stickless, plasterless, and whole. And one or two funny looks, you know. Some wondered, I think, whether she'd been trying to pull a fast one and get a room where she wouldn't have to, she'd be first down for breakfast, you know. But no, she said, I was just in a praise meeting. We weren't even praying for healing. We were simply praising the Lord together. And I felt this tingle in my leg, and I just knew that the Lord had healed me. And she said, I went to the hospital, and I said, my leg is better. And they said, it can't be. And I said, well, please have a look. So they took the plaster off, and the leg was better. Well, now, I don't understand that sort of thing, but I do know the Lord, who is able to heal it by a sovereign touch, unaided. Well, I could tell you other stories, but time is against me. Sometimes, however, his healing and restoring power is released through other people. Sometimes he uses us. I mean, I've not often been in that situation, but I have been in that situation where I've been ministering and praying for others, and they have been healed. Not by me, but by the Lord, who somehow or other has used me. I think of a man who'd had back problems. He was a Salvationist. And he'd had back problems for many, many, many years. And in the course of a communion service on one occasion, I remember praying with him at the rail as he came for bread and wine and for prayer. And the Lord touched him. And that problem began to ease. And it was a gradual healing. But praise God, he knew that wholeness. I remember a little old lady called Gladys, who had a very bad arthritic hand, and she could, you know, barely, I mean, shaking hands with her, you really had to use the other hand. And she too, I remember praying with in the context of a Holy Communion service in the church of which I was minister at that time. And we prayed for her hand, that the Lord would bring her wholeness and healing. Well, I was back in that church just earlier this year, and lo and behold, there was Gladys. I was shaking hands vigorously with the people at the door, and I hesitated when I saw Gladys. I didn't know which hand to shake. And she held out her right hand, and she gripped me firmly, and she said, praise God, it's still fine. Now, sometimes God does use us as we minister to others, not only in terms of physical healing, but also in other areas as well. And again, I could tell you a number of stories of ways in which people have known the blessing of God, that release and that restoration that comes when the power of Jesus is ministered, either sovereignly or through some human ministry. Well, let me just tell you one. Of a girl who had particularly bad memories of her school days, and she'd had a problem with one of her teachers. Well, who doesn't? But a particular problem. I'm sorry, I know there are one or two teachers here. I should have to be careful what I say. But there'd obviously been some sort of a personality clash with this particular teacher, lady teacher, and this particular girl. And do you know, this girl had carried that bitterness, that grudge, that anger, right through her teenage years and now in her early 20s. And somehow or other, it was eating away inside her, you know. And I remember her sitting on our settee and Joyce one side and me the other, and we held her hand and we took her back, as it were, in her thinking back to school, and we talked through the problem and we prayed it through and we ministered to her. And it was like a door opening. She was able to forgive that lady, and she was able to confess her own degree of fault in that relationship, and she was healed. That wasn't a physical thing. That was deep down inside. But you see, she was whole. And it was the blessing of the Lord. You see, all healing is God's healing. This is not to say that we rule out the normal role of the medical profession. I'm not saying, you know, if the National Health Service doesn't work, try going Bupa. And if that doesn't help you, well, you better try spiritual ministry. You better try God. I'm not saying that at all. James says we need to seek prayer and the anointing with oil. Well, now, that to me speaks about spiritual ministry and medication, because in those days, of course, anointing with oil was deemed to have medical properties. And the two things go hand in hand. All truth is God's truth, and all healing is God's healing, whether it comes through NHS or at a communion rail or sovereignly in a praise meeting, wherever it comes and however it comes, whatever wholeness God gives us in whatever way, we praise Him for it. Now, I know there are problems in this whole area of healing and restoration, and I know that there are many who've prayed and prayed and prayed for healing for one thing and another and have not known their prayer answered positively. And I don't know how to cope with that sort of problem, except to say that, well, let me put it in the words of a hymn. The kingdom of God, I wonder if you've come across this marvelous hymn in Hymns and Psalms 139. Sing it back in your church if you haven't found it. The kingdom of God is justice and joy, for Jesus restores what sin would destroy. God's kingdom is come, the gift and the goal, in Jesus begun, in heaven made whole. Now, ultimately, there is our answer. I don't know why, when I pray for healing, some are not healed, any more than I know why, when I preach the gospel, some are not converted. But I go on preaching the gospel, and I go on praying for healing, and ultimately, in heaven, made whole. David Watson, the late David Watson, greatly honored and loved, once told the story of meeting a Christian from Uganda named Henry. Henry had been shot in the face in an ambush, and World Vision had paid his fare and the cost of his treatment. They flew him out to Canada from Uganda, and it was in Canada that David Watson actually met him. He couldn't speak, been shot in the mouth, and his voice was gone. But he wrote on a piece of paper, and this is what he wrote: God never promises an easy trip, just a safe arrival. God never promises an easy trip, just a safe arrival. And I promise you this, brothers and sisters, there is ultimate wholeness to be found in Christ, whatever suffering we have to endure this side of the grave. power released at the touch of Jesus. I wonder if you've known that power. For physical healing, perhaps. There may be those tonight who could actually testify to that. Or to his touch in other areas of your life, in the healing of memories or relationships. The things that are broken down in our lives. I wonder if you've experienced his power. I wonder if you would be able to sing that lovely song, "Jesus, you are changing me. By your Spirit, you're making me like you, restored, whole by the power of Christ." Let me just say one more thing, and it's this. We've looked in this lovely story at the problem as it was exposed. We've seen something of the power revealed in Jesus. But I say to you that in this story there is a wonderful principle illustrated. A principle illustrated. What does Jesus say in verse 5? Stretch out your hand. There's the principle. It speaks of the obedience of faith. And again, Jesus often said things like that to people who sought wholeness at his hand. Pick up your bed and walk. Do something about it. Stretch out your hand. It was, in the first place, of course, a straightforward command to this particular disabled man. Luke tells us, and it's interesting, Luke was a doctor, of course, so he likes to be a bit more precise about these things. Luke tells us it was actually the man's right hand. Now, assuming he was right-handed, that's more of a problem, isn't it? If you're going to have a withered hand, if I'm going to have a withered hand, I'd much rather it was my left hand than my right hand. Because that would really be disability. I mean, my left-handed writing is something not to be seen. So it was a problem for this man. And tradition tells us, I don't know rightly or wrongly, that he was actually a plasterer. That had been his trade, and he needed both hands to do his job. The old apocryphal gospel according to the Hebrews tells us that he was a stonemason. So which was true or either, I really don't know. But the truth is, he couldn't operate normally. He couldn't live a normal life. He was disabled. And we're all disabled. We're all unwhole in some area or another of our lives. And restoration, this wonderful experience for this man, stretch out your hand, and he stretched it out and his hand was completely restored, was not only a restoration of his body, but a restoration of his livelihood. It made a tremendous difference to his whole life. What a change. Because, you see, for him, it was a symbol of his work. Hands and work often go together, don't they? You know, put your hand to it. For others, it's maybe a symbol of creativity. Just imagine having a withered hand if you're a pianist or a violinist or a flautist. Flautist, you only play half the scale then, couldn't you? Or whatever. Sometimes our creativity is impaired by some sort of disability. And again, please, I'm not talking only in physical terms here. I wonder if I'm talking tonight to some who do feel a certain sense of powerlessness. Perhaps physically you're fit and well, thank God for that, but you feel a sense of ineffectiveness in your Christian service. Whatever you turn your hand to, somehow or other, you can't seem to get anywhere. Powerless in your witness, going round and round in circles in your Christian life and getting nowhere. Stretch out your hand. Reach out to Jesus. I wonder if I'm speaking to someone who feels they're a different sort of Christian at work from what they are at home and at church. You can cope all right at home and at church, but when you get to work, the pressures are such that you just fail again and again. You've got no power to live and work as a Christian. You've perhaps never seen that your whole life belongs to God. And maybe you need a healing in that area of attitude to work, to secular life. Well, I say to you tonight, stretch out your hand. Whatever that need may be, the hand is also a symbol of relationships. One of our modern hymns says, "Give me your hand, my friend. Jesus is Lord." We share the peace by the grasping of the hand. The hand speaks of relationships. I wonder if I'm speaking to someone tonight in whose life there is a broken relationship. I mean a relationship that is wrong. It's wrong because there's a harbored bitterness or a grudge or a lack of forgiveness for something that happened maybe years and years and years ago. Stretch out your hand to that person and to the Lord. Do as this man did. I wonder, did he really want healing? I don't think he expected anything to happen as he went off to the synagogue on that particular Sabbath morning. I wonder, in fact, whether he really welcomed it, or whether somehow or other he'd got rather accustomed to his disability, to the extent that he'd more or less come to think that that was normality. A bit like the man at the pool, you remember? He'd been there, how long? 38 years. And I can well imagine that he'd more or less now come to think, well, this is just normal living. And there are many of us who are satisfied with subnormal Christian living. We almost get to feel, well, I'm comfortable with this, you know. I'll just sort of limp along this way for the rest of my days. Well, Jesus knows and Jesus sees, and he says to you tonight, stretch out your hand. Don't be satisfied with less than the best. Don't be satisfied with less than wholeness, with less than restoration. Stretch out your hand. And the principle applies to every need. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, says the Apostle Paul. And the wonderful truth I bring you tonight is that your point of need, physical, mental, emotional, relational, spiritual, your point of need is his point of access. That's the wonderful truth. So we don't have to hide that point. That's the very point he wants to come in through. Your point of need is his point of access. I was looking through Mission Praise this afternoon and saw that little song, Reach Out and Touch the Lord as He Goes By. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Stretch out your hand. There is power there in Christ. Your problem is exposed, and that may be a difficulty for a moment, but the joy and the healing and the restoration that he brings are worth it all. And you can go from this place renewed, restored, and healed. We're going to sing as we close our meeting in Power Praise. It's a lovely song.